Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.
2,500 feet! Time to pull our chutes!
25? Did you hear you could save up to 25% off grocery store prices at BJ's Wholesale Club?
Did you say save up to 25% at BJ's?
Yeah, save up to 25% at BJ's!
Whoa! That's like saving up to 1/4 of...
Ugh, that's gonna leave a mark.
BJ's. Absurdly simple savings. Shop today. Not a member? Go to bjs.com/simple savings.
Welcome everyone to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Ryan Bittery, hosts. For today, we got a couple of assigned movies from listeners. Plus, I caught up with the instant classic. We'll talk about that.
Oh no.
You're gonna like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I promise.
Yeah.
I already knew.
You know. You know. You're sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
I already knew.
Is it Mario Brothers?
I did see Mario Brothers, but I'm not confessing that.
I heard the song is quite catchy.
It is, and you can listen to it at home without watching Mario Brothers. Peaches is pretty, it's earworms.
Peaches.
Oh, jeez, Peaches. All right. Yeah, that's been on a loop in my house for a bit.
Has the boy seen Mario?
He has not seen Mario. Remember, I took him to Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, I know, but it's been a week.
Well, he doesn't like to go see movies. Huh? He's my wife's son.
Has he seen Evil Dead Rise?
He has not yet. But he wants to very badly.
Who has a more diverse palate at this point, Atticus or your wife?
Diverse?
Yeah, who will eat more things?
Oh, well, let's not get into that. I don't want to get into
that. I'll take that
they're
as
on par. They're on par. Let's talk about some movies.
Movies.
Well, let's do what we do here.
You've got a movie to make.
I do. Thank you very much to everyone who took a dive and listened. Took a dive. That doesn't sound right, but who listened to the
who
new
dove in.
Loaded
everyone
for Bear.
Everyone wasted their time.
Took a dive and went down and dive. Who listened to Loaded for Bear? Let's make this movie. My week one of I forget how many weeks, but there's a it'll conclude at the end.
Is
of
what, 36?
This, end of this year. Is it 36? That sounds about right. Yeah,
feels like a lot.
And thank you very much to everyone who has given so far. It gives us great confidence, and we know that we can get to work on this thing. You know, I've been working on it for a number of months as it is, but now I can start, you know, paying people fairly soon here once I get some of that money. The amount of people that have given, not massive yet. I know it's going to slowly grow as we go, but the people who have given big. There's been some big amounts that have gone in. A couple of you also gave straight to Entertainment to Effect Change. So I've not seen any of that or the matches, but yeah, money is coming in and you guys get what I'm after, I think. So that's fantastic. You'll hear more about what I'm after and what I'm trying to make and what we're going after, I should say, on Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie. And the website is loadedforbeardoc.com. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to know more, you can also always email me as far as where your money's going, what we're trying to accomplish.
Want a line for a production budget?
I mean, we do have a budget, and I don't think that my next production meeting is this Friday, so I don't know if our pitch deck or our budget is actually publicly available at this point. I'd like to make both publicly available.
Yeah, transparency, I understand that.
I'm not sure that they are. Yeah, I'm all about transparency and making everything totally upfront, and everyone, especially if you're giving some serious money. I got some serious tiers on there. If you want to be executive producer, it's going to cost a lot of money. You know, so
understandable.
I want you to know what the process is, and that's what Loaded for Bear Let's Make This Movie, the weekly feed that I'll be doing, which will live here. That's what that feed is all for. It's to give you an idea of what goes into making a movie.
If people want to access that, what do they search? Where do they look?
Just if you have the Film Vault as an RSS feed and you get this here show, it will show up in your feed.
I don't like that.
That's right.
Loadforbeardoc.com.
Oh, is that what
Tyler was
trying? And then I got a story about loadedforbeardoc.com. There's a lot of stories that have happened since I saw you last week.
It's been 8 days.
It has been 8 days. And
how many stories can you have?
I put my foot in my mouth via email.
What do you know?
I did had no idea that there was people copied on the email.
Oh, no.
And it involves loadedforbear.com, which we were making some headway on maybe securing or at least having it point to our project for the time being, because it's one of these URLs that someone owns, but they're not doing anything with it. And I think I put a stop to that quite quickly.
What happened?
I'll talk about it.
I don't want to
get into it.
You don't get away with that here because
I don't want to get into it.
You're putting the fucking feed on our feed. The least you can do is talk about your misadventures.
That's a good point. It's fair. a listener who shall remain nameless right now until later, but
give them a name that is their name.
No, he sent me an email and it just said, here's the person. He forwarded me an email where he was corresponding with the person who owns the URL loadedforbear.com, which we do not. We own loadedforbear.com, all right? As well as loadedforbearthemovie.com for later on for the narrative. But he's forwarded me an email, and it was quite cordial. It was back and forth, and the guy was saying that he has a dream for loadedforbear.com down the road. And then
what is that dream?
We don't know. I don't know. And then my guy said, hey, well, could we maybe...
black people and white people can sit together at the table of brotherhood?
I don't think it has anything to do with that. I don't know what... I don't think it has anything to do with Martin Luther King.
What delusions of grandeur does he have? I don't know.
But I come in and I see the email and I see, he forwarded it to me and I just write the guy... Let's just say the guy's name is Danny. And I write, my contribution is, so Danny's the name of the fucker that knows... And then, I get 5 minutes later, I get an email and it says, it was a bounce back email and it says, this email doesn't, and I'm like, I don't recognize that email. And then I go and I go back and I'm like, was to like three people. It wasn't just to my guy. So then I'm like, sorry, Danny, I didn't realize that. I'm like, I'll read it verbatim on the app.
Don't worry, this is just how I talk to the...
I have since called this man, left him a message to no avail.
Hey, Mugger, Tanner.
And Jeffrey, I got to read Jeffrey's response too, because...
It's just how I talk to the IDD actors. We're very fast and loose.
Jeffrey, the listener who set this all up and was making headway on my behalf to be a nice guy for the project, he's like, yes, the tone of definitely changed quickly with your response. But I mean,
keeping it real.
I mean, I hope the guy, I'm going to call him again and leave him another message.
How annoyed would you be if you were on the receiving end of that?
So Anderson's the name of the fucker who owns. No, it's me. I want it. Especially if the guy left me a message and he's like, I hope we can get past that embarrassing first. So we'll see. And if nothing else, for years and years to come,
you should have called him up and went, hey, fucker, sorry that it.
I know. I should have just leaned in.
Yeah.
For years to come, I will be monitoring loadedforbear.com to see what his dream ultimately is. I would like to help this guy. Hopefully he just hasn't been able to get back to me. Maybe there's something, maybe there's a quid pro quo.
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, that's our protocol. Yeah.
Past the stupid, just like that's how I talk to Jeffrey. I'm kind of off the cuff with Jeffrey. I thought it was just he and I. The dumb little joke. I guess
the lame joke. Yeah.
Danny's the fucker that owns it. All right, because I knew someone owned it. I tried to buy it. Obviously, it's what you do when you come up with the title of something. Okay. All right. Let's. My response was good, and we'll see. Okay, let's do a little.
Hey, good luck.
So thank you very much to everyone who has given. I give shout outs on the Loaded for Bear doc. Let's Make This Movie each week, and I don't want to clutter up this feed with too much of that. That's what the whole point is. So please, if you would like to be involved in a very worthwhile documentary, and also learn as we all go through this. It's gonna be a fun adventure for everyone. And
excited for you, excited for the start of this venture, excited for the fundraising. I'm glad everything's off to a good start.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much, Brian.
And let's never speak of it again.
Never again. Ever again. Until I secure Loaded for Bear.
Even then.
.com. Loaded for Bear doc is where you go. Okay.
Oh.
And then what else? What else? We got some stuff, right, guys? We got some stuff. I got some announcements to make
really?
As far as the show
again?
Goes. Well, I mean, I always do. Next week, on Tyler Booth's behalf, we're going to be watching Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
How do you spell that?
Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
Oh, I looked that up.
And then also for Brian McCauley, we're going to be doing top 5 irresponsible gun handling. What do you think of that?
That is oddly specific.
I like it though.
Potentially
irresponsible gun handling scenes. And there's some good ones. I've already dipped my toe in that arena. It's fun. I don't know if arena's proper, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Coming up later this week, if you're listening in two parts, top 5 movie theater scenes.
Yes, top 5 movie theater scenes.
Which ended up being very fruitful.
Yes.
Turns out movies like to portray movies.
They love to celebrate themselves, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of mine aren't so celebratory.
So is that what?
Some of mine aren't so celebratory, it turns out. Mm-hmm. Tragedy befalls.
There is some tragedy within mine, too. My number one is shocking. Shocking. Shocked me.
Okay.
But I had forgotten about it until the research, and I watched the clip, which I will play on the show.
Oh.
You two be damned if you're going to copyright infringe us and tell us not to. I don't care. We're going to play this clip for the good of the program, and it is fucking hilarious. That I can tell you.
All right, I'm in.
That I can tell you.
I got to tell you, my number two, maybe it should be number one. Number two had me giggling so much that Christy's like, what's going on over there? And I explained to her what the scene was. Mm-hmm. Stone-faced.
Stone-faced?
Yeah.
That's the wife thing to do.
Yeah, I'm like, this is delightful. She's like, eh.
Jillian catches me laughing and giggling. Sometimes it'll be like 10 minutes after I heard something, like on, you know, Billy's podcast or something. And she'll be like, what? And I'm like, all right, this isn't... Usually it's something Mike said on the after... Is that sort of the morning after?
Yeah, so you have to go into an explanation, a setup.
And it's just never, ever satisfying when I explain it. And she just looks at me like, why is that funny? Uh-huh. It's like, oh, Jesus. Why... Why, honey?
Well,
why did you want to marry me?
Objectively funny.
Okay. Well, let's see. Maybe we light up. All right.
We doing a little current events. We talking about the writer's strike.
Let's do writer's strike talk. Let's do it.
All right. I'm uneducated.
There's a lot of turmoil going on within the industry, and this is, you know, it ebbs and flows, ups and downs, and there's a lot, many strikes. I think a few of the guilds are all striking. Another one looming as well. I don't know, but this has been on the horizon for a while now, and. I have not done enough research to tell you exactly what it's going to mean when everything, you know, the dust settles on one side or the other. But anyone would like to bring any insight?
I have no insights.
Well, last time, because I was reading up on, everybody's talking about the last time it happened. It was what, 2008, and it lasted 100 days?
Feels about right.
It was right around I was working on things then, and everyone was telling me like, oh, that was a good time. You got to take advantage, be a scab. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound.
Probably not going to pay off in the long run.
Now's the time to be a piece of shit. All I saw is Jay Leno delivered donuts to writers outside of Disney.
Oh, what a guy.
That's the only scoop I got.
Okay, well, that's not worthy of the program.
Hard hitting.
That's got old.
From 2008.
Investigative journalism.
Hey, you heard about this? You heard they got donuts now?
Keep walking.
In your hand.
All right, stop looking out the window. Let's do some fan fiction.
Yeah, let's hear what the listeners have seen.
All right.
Spoor loose.
Mitch is the fucker who puts together fan fiction.
Wow, hope that doesn't get out.
That's the fucker's name?
That's the fucker's name. Edward Pretty on Facebook. Return of the Jedi.
Tight.
Enjoyed seeing it on the big screen again. First time since 1983.
It's the updated version, though.
Wish it wasn't the special edition.
Oh.
My 12-year-old spent the whole 2 hours making fun of the bad special effects.
No. Fuck that kid.
Kids are the worst. Greendale Grizzlies on Reddit. Sisu was just okay.
What?
Had some fun for 91 minutes, but nothing is well done enough or compelling for me to come back.
Is that how you judge a movie? Who is this? Who said this?
This is Greendale Grizzlies.
How fun is it?
You got to be able to come back to it. Yeah, I have to want to watch it again for it to get a good review from me.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. Fucking banger.
Same guy. We sure it's a guy?
Feels like the definition of honest filmmaking.
Oh, really?
Rachel McAdams owns this shit and will not give it back. Benny is also fun. The Greendale Grizzlies saw it. Apparently everything on streaming. Peter Pan and Wendy.
Wow.
Watched most of it with my 9 and 6-year-old boys.
Why?
They asked.
I like that. I literally
was there rehearsed?
And they go, Daddy, why does everything look so boring and gray?
Oh, was it shot like monotone?
Yeah, I got a green. Not much to keep young ones interested, which you'd think that'd be the whole point. They wanted more action and more of the crocodile, and when it didn't happen, they turned it off.
Mm. Upsetting.
Smart move. Under the Quinfluence, did a double feature of Postal and Harpoon with friends.
Postal. Fuck to the ass.
I had seen both before, but wanted to show them, and we had a great time with a couple deranged little indie gems. Both had similar vibes, are super fun, and they had a surprising amount of parallels between them. Heard about Postal from old Uncle Andy, but not sure if he's seen Harpoon. Well worth seeking out.
I think there's a couple Harpoons. I remember one came out, and then I was going to watch it at one point because someone suggested it, but I couldn't figure out which one because there was two of them. Yeah.
Gets confusing.
And new episode of the Film Vaulters with Andrew Martin is out today. Mm-hmm. Well, Andrew Martin.
Hey, Andrew Martin. Look at that. He's a constant contributor over here. He's got Andrew watches movies. He's a big horror guy. He was thrilled to hear that we're going to be watching Haunt.
Haunt.
Haunt. Which we did, and which we will be talking about later in this episode.
And I watched Unstoppable. Pretty good. Pretty good.
The train movie.
Pretty good. Yeah, with Chris Pine and Denzel.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And it gets like more intense as the movie goes. It was well constructed.
And it's a little bit of a 2010 time capsule. Because you know, when you're in it, you can't tell what feels like the era. Sure. Mm-hmm. When you watch it going back, all right.
What is the language? Because are they passing by 2010 cars on the train?
No, just kind of the way it feels like that era. I can't quite place it yet because we're still relatively close to it. But it was very much of that era. It was good.
I'm not sure I understand pretty much anything that he just said other than he watched Unstoppable.
Maybe the Tony Scott.
It feels dated in a way I can't quite describe.
I think it's the Tony Scott.
Yeah, the Tony Scottness maybe came through.
I think that might be
it. Might be the Tony Scottness.
Yeah. Do you think if Brian directed a movie, it would look like a Tony Scott movie?
Well, you're about to find out.
You're producing a movie.
That would be good.
Okay. The reason I ask is because they both have similar things going on.
What do we have going on? He's dead.
Both white, rich, older men.
Oh, one thing I don't think they could do anymore, though, was that both his daughters work at Hooters, and they just periodically cut back and forth to just
Hooters. I forgot about Hooters. That.
Just to put a little TNA in.
Just for Hooters waitresses just cheering after every explosion. I don't think that's happening anymore.
I don't think somebody might have a problem with it anymore. Using, I think you're probably right about that.
I forgot
that.
About
would
that.
Date it, yes.
Plot line.
A little bit. So the brain cancer, Bradley.
Yeah, okay.
The man had brain cancer.
Did he? Was that the thing?
Yeah.
I forget that was proven.
He took a different way out.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was
proven. Well, we might end up being the same. You never know. Give it time.
Is there a world in which Tony Scott is sitting at this table with you instead of Brian?
Oh, that's a weird.
That is a weird world.
What if he's sitting here instead of me and Brian's just like, you would just talk to him about his brother constantly. Tell me more.
So when Ridley was making Alien.
All right. Where do we start? Oh, I didn't even hear what you were saying at the top. Please tell me that we're gonna line up. What movies were Flickfesting? I don't know what you're Flickfesting.
Oh, I have. I told you I have an instant classic that I caught up on.
Okay, that's all. I mean, usually we do three movies.
I'm teasing.
What are the other movies, Brian?
Oh, Haunt and The Vanishing.
This means that I'm talking Beau Is Afraid by myself.
I didn't see it. I thought
you son of a bitch.
While you're waiting for streaming.
I've been so excited to talk to you about this.
Streaming. When's it streaming?
No,
probably in like 2 weeks.
The last text he sent me was like, "I'm gonna wait for stream."
Well, I guess we'll circle back to
streaming
it,
that soon.
I mean, that's what happens now. Every
or is it gonna be the
$20 anymore?
It's gonna be the $20 stream. I know there's no Hooters.
Dude, it could be on Hulu, and it could be on Peacock in like 3 weeks. The way things are, like things are in the theater, and then like I walk in, and Jillian will be on Peacock, and an ad will pop up, and it's like Smile is streaming now. I think for free on like Prime. I guess that was like 6 months ago.
Megan,
we're going to talk a little Beau's Afraid.
I want to hear about you.
He's a terrified man.
You want to pre-flick it?
He's very, very scared. I'm just going to flick fest it. How about that? How about them apples?
Do it.
I had a very enjoyable time watching Beau's Afraid.
Oh.
Very enjoyable time until I didn't. Ari Aster's third movie. This one comes in it's this follow-up to Midsommar, which, if you recall, had a very, very particular tone to it.
Just that was the last movie.
Would you call it funny, Midsommar?
A couple of funny moments. I might call it a funny movie.
I don't think the 12-year-old in my theater enjoyed it so much.
Oh, the 12-year-old should not have been there. Ari Aster's first film, of course, is Hereditary. It's what put Ari Aster on the map. Here he comes in with a 3-hour movie starring Joaquin Phoenix. I was able to see this thing without seeing anything other than who was directing it, who was in it to an extent, and what the runtime was and the poster. And
so no trailer even.
I avoided the trailer, which is fantastic. If you see the trailer, you're going to see a whole lot of what I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
Which is, this is like 4 movies in one. There's definitely a through line. It's one of those movies where you got to kind of study it. You think about more things as the days pass. And I'm sure that there's a whole lot of stuff that most people will miss, myself included. A lot of stuff is going over people's heads. But I won't even get into the themes. I won't even get into... I'm going to get into like what I loved so much about the movie, and I'll stop at the point where it lost me. So there's 4 different acts, essentially, okay. Very clear acts. And the first one is Bo being just that. He's afraid. He's Joaquin Phoenix. He's a balding Joaquin Phoenix with very gray hair. They really olden him up, even though he's playing his age, because they get to the year that he was born at one point in the movie, which is 1975. But he looks... I have to imagine that they aged him because he looks haggard.
Okay.
And he's just a very quiet, scared little man. And it opens up with him speaking about some things with his therapist. And then we get to see him go home. And the best way I can describe where he lives is, imagine he lives in an apartment in the inner city. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you turn on the local news or Fox News, not to pick on Fox News, but just the local news is just as bad, if not worse. Right. And everything that they're reporting on is actually happening.
It's happening.
Yeah. All the time in this neighborhood, and perhaps beyond the neighborhood as well, but especially in his neighborhood. He has to get to his apartment, he has to step over a dead corpse that's been laying in the street for some time. There's a dancing fella out front. There's drug deals happening. There's girls trying to get Johns.
That's not too bad.
There's this one man who is covered in tattoos, and he sees Joaquin showing up, walking his way, and he just, the sprint
Joaquin
is on.
Walking,
and the sprint is on, and he just starts sprinting, and then Joaquin sees him. Now he's sprinting for the glass door at his apartment building.
He's no longer walking.
Just barely makes it before tattooed man gets to the door, and now he's inside the safety of his apartment building, sure. Which reminded me a lot of the apartment building in Clockwork Orange, if you recall. It was a dystopian future.
Okay.
Derelicts had gotten to it. Graffiti everywhere. The elevator's not working. Actually, the door, he actually takes his cane, Alex does, in Clockwork Orange, and kind of like checks to see while whistling and enjoying himself. Out of commission, that sure. The elevator in Bo is Afraid is actually sparking. Like there's sparks coming out of it. All right, so this is the universe that he lives in.
Oh, there's a movie theater scene in Clockwork Orange. I don't even know that.
Well, I mean, you can, I wouldn't call it a theater, but it's technically.
It's obviously a theater.
Good point, Brent. So that's the first act. And I, at times, was howling, especially how this first act concludes. I was doing all I could to stifle because there was maybe 10 people in the theater. I guess I'm the only one that found it very amusing. I mean, this is really top-tier satire. Mm-hmm. It's very funny. And Joaquin really is, I was not a Joaquin fan before Come On, Come On. He kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I am now officially like on board the Joaquin train. I love this guy. He fucking crushes it in this movie. So then
he's been an amazing actor for years. What took you so long?
I the characters that he played rubbed me the wrong way, I guess. I didn't see enough vulnerability, which might sound weird, but like him and the Master, I just could not stand.
But like in her, he was very vulnerable.
He was, and I liked him in her too. That's another one. But Come On, Come On, really. Okay. Anyway, I know what I'm saying is ridiculous and absurd, but that's personal, right? We get personal.
What was the one where we killed the pedophiles?
Which one's that?
What was that?
Isn't he walking around with a wrench beating him to death?
What's that?
What's that one? Joaquin. You saw it. He's going on his vengeance tour, and he's beating dudes to death.
I don't remember that.
Oh, you both.
Can you look it up? I also liked him in Super 8. I mean, 8mm, I should say. 8mm, he was good too. Okay.
Oh. He was the monster in Super 8.
Then he finds himself in a very different surrounding with a couple of very doting parents, and he usurps a young girl. Nathan Lang is fantastic as the father figure.
You were never really here.
You were not. Yeah, I didn't like that one. It bored me to death.
It's a bummer.
Yeah, it's the woman who did. We need to talk about Kevin too. I was very excited about that one, but All right. So, and then he stumbles into the woods and there's a whole new story that unfolds. And then ultimately he's in a fourth, very particular. I'm just going to leave it at that because this movie is, you know, filled with discovery. But I can't say that I love this movie through
and
through.
Where did it lose you? Where
He wanders into the woods and I never really quite recovered.
And there was which act? How far in?
That's
2 hours?
Third act. I'd say like an hour and a half in. And
it was one of these movies. Point.
I was looking at my watch going, how much longer? Because I didn't want to get lost. I didn't want to fall off the train that was Beau Is Afraid because I was really enjoying my time there. And I know that as movies, I do that with movies where I'm really liking them. I'm like, I hope it opens soon because I want to love this movie. I don't want to be lost. And ultimately, I'm lost. I think a listener last week in Fanfliction said that if they had an a domineering parental figure, maybe they would have appreciated it more. Perhaps that's one of my problems. I maybe still haven't fully digested this movie. My main takeaway is I didn't know Ari Aster had this kind of comedic timing and vision.
Does it lose the comedy partway through? Does it sort of abandon it?
It doesn't spend as much time with it. And it gets more and more bizarre. I could follow along with the satire of, you know, what if local news was real? But then the farther it goes, especially once it gets past that second act and then the third and fourth act, there's stuff that I just don't understand and I haven't read up on it yet. And I didn't want to come in here with other people's opinions. So I'm going to continue to try and figure out what that might have meant, which I was doing in the shower. Just when it's a sign of a really good movie where you're still thinking of things.
Sure.
Parker Posey's character. She shows up. We haven't seen her in a minute.
True.
She's good in this. And there's stuff that happens with her that I cannot figure out what he was aiming at.
Can't remember the last time I saw Parker Posey.
There's a creature. So it's a bit of a creature feature. Oh, I'm pretty sure I understand that. I understand the creature feature. And I was thinking about testicles just this morning. And I think I figured that part out as
okay.
well.
Okay, go on.
I think
you've got my attention.
I like this movie quite a bit. I really did like this movie quite a bit. And I think it's maybe just a matter of me understanding the second, third and fourth act a little bit more. I felt embarrassed. I was trying to stifle my laughter. They just weren't laughing. And it's fucking funny, guys. There's a brown recluse that comes into play.
You stood alone.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes on this thing? Are people liking it?
I would never know. So I couldn't tell you.
I think that's what we're going to be agreeing with.
It gets chaotic.
Beau Is Afraid? No.
We should have.
I wonder. Let's see. It does feel, and I could be wrong.
70%.
It feels like Ari Aster might. It seems like he's given carte blanche, and maybe he could be reined in a little bit. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe this is a fucking masterpiece, and I'm just wrong. But it seems like he could use a little hand holding because he's given the world. He's given a 3 hour time. Run, which
he's given an extra act.
Yeah.
What's the rare? The critics and audience both is 70.
Oh yeah,
lined up.
That doesn't upset me or surprise me. Only God Forgives. Remember the Nicholas Winding Refn?
Yeah.
Kind of. Did you see that one?
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, there's some barriers with both movies. A lot of hidden messages and a lot of parables and metaphors and all that stuff, which I don't always have time for. But that's there's definitely that going on here.
Should have cost you a less busy week. Maybe it'll land it harder.
Well, no, it landed, dude. I'm thinking about testicles this morning. They're not my own, and I'm in the shower. So, I mean, the movie's affecting me still. You know what I mean?
It is rare that I'm thinking about testicles that are not my own.
Right, especially in the shower.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what kind of got me to thinking about it. No, I was already thinking about it, though. Like, why? Why that? I know that that's there for a reason. I think I figured. I was having, like, revelations in the shower about this movie that I saw, like, 3 days ago.
2 hours passed. You're still in the shower. Contemplating.
Honey.
I've cracked the code.
All right. So Beau Is Afraid. I recommend this movie. I'd like you to go see it in the theaters, but it's quite the commitment. I get that. And you're going to.
I think I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that first act is a lot. It reminded me a little bit of Mother as well. It's kind of movie. I was like, I'd love to have watched it with you.
Yeah.
And just like be laughing, like having you laugh with me because it's one of those movies. You want to be laughing at this stuff, but my audience sucked.
Yeah, which makes it worse.
Maybe they thought they were going in. Also, a listener said
they think it was art, that maybe it's just serious. We need to
you can't laugh at
respect them.
I brought my sister and she too was laughing. She was, but we were both stifling. And I had set her up and I said, I've heard from not just the listener last week, but I've heard that the tone is creepy throughout. It's odd throughout, but I would not call this a creepy tone.
Okay.
Throughout, no.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to talk to you about it. I hope you see it there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Avery. And,
I've got my ticket for tomorrow.
Oh, do that off the air.
Brian, I was really excited too.
I heard from you, we weren't seeing it.
You seeing it tomorrow? You coming along?
I'll see you later tonight.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Let me just jump in.
Most terrified.
Let me jump in with the instant classic I caught up with. Mm-hmm. You might enjoy this. I got a story that involves, it was a very embarrassing story for me. So you'll enjoy this. I was alone on Saturday. Christy was...
Isn't that usually the case?
What's that?
Isn't that usually the case?
Being alone on a Saturday? No, not at all.
Okay.
No, the whole world's here on a Saturday. Uh-huh. Christy was away at a bachelorette party. Tessa with grandma and grandpa going to the Natural History Museum. Mm-hmm. So I found myself alone for the better part of the day. And I thought, I'm going to go see a movie. It's like a flick that I should see. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to be extra focused. I'm going to pop a Ritalin.
What?
Nope. Whoa.
Ritalin movie watching?
No, but I do that often. I mean, the Ritalin really helps.
You should do that for Bo, it sounds like.
I know, seriously. And it was about half hour later. I was about half hour after I took the pill and half an hour before I was leaving for the movie that I realized I accidentally took an Ambien.
Oh, no.
Now, you remember what happened to us when we did our Ambien show.
We took a lot of Ambien.
What time was this?
This is 9:45 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So,
that's not what you want.
How long after you popped it that you realize?
About half an hour.
Okay, too late. Because, I realized I took a sleeping pill once, like in the morning when I thought it was something else.
Yes.
And I threw it up because I'm like, I can't be asleep all day. Yeah.
Oh, smart. You made I should have done that.
No, 30 minutes, it's already dissolved.
Because here's the mistake that I made. I already had the movie ticket.
You didn't pop a Ritalin, did you?
I may have.
Brian, what are you Elvis over there?
No effect. No effect. I was...
Did they cancel each other out?
I was nodding off a bit during the movie, which is a real mistake and hard to do because Sisu...
Well, they say you're supposed to drive on Ambien.
That's right.
Instant classic is what you're calling Sisu?
Sisu is fucking rad.
It's
Sisu is so good.
It's got a tone.
Now, you might be thinking, Brian, you barely remember the movie. That's true. I went to see it again the next day.
Oh, did you really?
Yes. Wow. Clean and sober.
Mm.
That's right. And so Sisu was seen by me in 2023.
We should do a spoiler on this.
Sure. Written and directed by Joel Murray Hellander.
We should do a spoiler because I have one joke that I want to get in about it.
Fair.
I'm joking.
Okay. We're writer and director of Rare Exports. I've done that before.
I know. That's the joke, Prepper.
Starring Yorma, what the fuck do you pronounce his name? Yorma Tomila? And Axel Harris? No.
It's okay, Brian.
There's a lot of letters going on there that I don't recognize. The Bill Burr looking motherfucker. Mm-hmm. The shaved head Nazi. Mm-hmm. 94% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is in theaters now. This is a good example of a movie delivering exactly what it promises.
What it knows it is. Stays in its lane. Yeah,
precisely. It's done with the right amount of style, the right amount of irreverence. Like there's funny parts in this movie. I laughed out loud like you probably did during Beau's Afraid at certain parts. And then there are parts that were just brutal and excruciating and hard to watch. But be that as it may, it's quite a ride. It's only, I didn't write it down, but it's like 90 minutes, 92 minutes, something of that nature.
It's lean. It
gets in, gets out, not a lot of fat on that bone. Almost a totally silent performance from our star.
Should have been. I would have liked him more.
I mean, I guess
some people
that's a creative
choice. We'll talk about that later.
When? I want to spoiler this.
When I get my joke in.
Okay, fair. I will observe that this man, now you flick fest this last week, I believe.
Yeah, it's a real high concept movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. A guy,
man has goals.
What we find out to be a sort of retired mercenary soldier in Finland strikes gold while prospecting. He packs up his bags, but is intercepted by Nazis. This is the end of World War II, and the Nazis decide it's their gold, and he decides, oh, no, it's not. And thus we have our movie. That man sure can't hold his breath for a long time.
We'll talk about that in the spoilers.
But this is a lean version of RRR in the sense that it's about these legendary figures where they're taking all sorts of liberties, but who cares? Because it's a tall tale, effectively.
Yeah, I mean, he's not based on an actual person, but he's based on an idea of what it is to be Finnish, especially in this time. And I'll give you that. Yeah. And it's a lean version of a Tarantino movie if it wasn't bloated in a, not a necessarily a bad sense of the word bloated, but my friend had a band named Dead and Bloated in, when I was in high school. It was
nice.
Good band.
Good band. I did write down there.
Was, but
there
with was, dialogue, with dialogue. Very, what I was going to say, the Tarantino movies tend to be long because there's,
they're verbose.
So many characters have a lot to say.
This quite the opposite with our titular, our main character.
Do this remind you of Beast a little bit? Or Beasts of War?
No.
That's foolish. I don't want to remind you.
In as much as it involved a tank, I guess, but no.
This is point A to point B, and it's very high concept, and it's out there. Very different. Look, I'm just leaning into his very different opinion.
Very different.
You didn't see this on Ambien, so.
Yeah, which
you have no right to comment.
Which time did you like it more? Ambien, with the Marilyn Monroe cocktail you had taken?
The funny part was the second time I saw it, everything that happened in the movie, I kept being like, oh yeah, I remember that. But I didn't remember anything in order. And I know the plot didn't make sense the first time, right? So everything was familiar.
There is no plot really, just other than the guy trying to get his gold to the bank.
Well,
That's the plot.
Everything seemed familiar.
So it was very Tarantino. Yes. You didn't get it.
It was as very confused. If you asked me to describe the movie after the first viewing, I would have told you all the events out of order.
It's about a man and his dog, I think. There was some mud, and it was nothing like Beast of War.
Very, very dissimilar.
Yeah, you just described how a lot of my second dates used to go back in the... vaguely familiar.
Uppers and downers?
No, like... When I go out on a date with a girl after, having way too many drinks and meeting her to begin with, and then I go on the date, I'm like, I kind of remember your hair being that color, but...
Were you having ponytail?
You have an accent? Did not know
Is
that.
Is that new?
All right, I'm glad you saw that.
Sisu was fun. Sisu, guys, see Sisu. I would recommend in the theater, if it's still playing near you. I know it's not a lot of theaters, but definitely put this on your list if you can't get to it to stream when it comes available.
I don't foresee this being like a Vaulty mention at the end of the year or early next year.
Feels like a long shot.
It feels like a long shot. Just I'm just kind of giving an idea of what you're getting into. It's a fun ride.
It's really fun.
But
this is not a life-changing movie. It sounds very, very fun.
If you want to scratch the John Wick itch, is that fair?
I had more fun watching this one than John Wick for sure.
I agree. This is like Tarantino does John Wick in 1944.
Without dialogue.
Without dialogue.
The thing, this came up on Cinematics actually when I was guest hosting last week, and I think Eric asked me like what makes me like Sisu more than John Wick, and I pontificated, but after the fact it occurred to me, it's like there's not nearly as much gunplay in Sisu. They had to get more creative and have more fun with the battles and the conflict that was happening, whereas John Wick, it's just step and repeat, gun play. He does this movie, does that move, and then five more guys will come, and the exact same sequence will happen, but in a fairly
I find this to be far more inventive.
Yeah, inventive. And RRR came up as well, and just how inventive they get with all of the things that happened on that screen. Yeah, sure, there was muskets.
It's funny because I think of it as inventive, yet there's nothing in this movie you haven't seen before. If you've seen
the pond. The lake. We'll talk about that.
Actually, you know what? That's a good point.
That's the most inventive thing I saw, but I don't think scientifically accurate. We'll talk about that.
100% medically accurate.
I think it's inaccurate, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I had an issue with that too.
We'll talk. I'm going to try it, see if it works.
How?
Same way he did. A knife and big balls. All right, let's go, Ray. We got to take a quick break here.
No,
we still got a couple movies to talk about.
I know, it's true.
Come on now.
Coming up next, two assigned films right after this.
For the fourth year in a row, Dawn is partnering with iHeartRadio for Can't Cancel Pride, a campaign that has raised over $11 million for the LGBTQ+ community. Dawn continuously strives to celebrate visibility and inclusivity for all, and that means supporting amazing organizations like Centerlink, providing safe spaces where over 52,000 community members go each week to receive critical and life-saving services. Dawn is there for your home or your home away from home. So visit can'tcancelpride.com to learn more.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Crunchy groove, as our boy Petros Papadakis would say. I miss that Petros.
Former guest of the show.
I don't even listen to him anymore because I have a different system in my car. Oh, I can't even listen to AM radio in my car.
They must podcast their show.
That's a good point. Yeah. I miss that Petros.
So can't get AM radio.
I can't get AI. There's something happened to the band, and I just get nothing but engine noise.
Buddy, I have fallen.
That is very different.
I have fallen hopelessly off my podcast ever since I stopped driving to Glendale every day.
What happened? Why don't you drive to Glendale?
I was relieved of my duties as a with the wacky.
You mispronounced. It's unceremoniously fired.
I was unceremoniously fired.
That's the way you say it. Hey, I'm going to listen to La Maga really soon. I'm sorry. I have not got to it. I promise you I will do that. I meant to do that on the way here.
Hey, a lot of people like that show.
I've heard.
Yeah, it's going well.
So far, it's not me because I've not listened to it, but I promise to give you notes.
I was listening to Stryker on the radio instead.
Is this true?
That's really hurtful, actually.
He's on like KLOS. I avoid him every time he comes on.
Is he on Stryker's on KLOS?
Kevin's on KLOS. Stryker's on one of the other ones. He's not in K-Rock. There's KLOS. I think Star. He's on Star.
Oh, my God. He's on Star.
Yeah.
Wow.
But him and Kevin of Kevin and Bean are on at the same time, drive time in the afternoon.
I mean, our audience is riveted by this local radio.
It's K-Rock is world famous, all right?
But we're not talking about
here's what I'm about to give you an actual quote from one of the highest people over at K-Rock when he heard that Stars had stolen K-Rock's format. Mm. And he didn't read about it. It just happened, and he turned it on.
There was a station in LA that went from like adult contemporary to modern rock.
Yeah, indie rock, right? And they just stole K-Rock's entire vibe and image. And he called in a friend of mine who worked over there. That's how I got to hear this story. And he's like, listen to this. He turns it up and he's like, they're both listening to the new Stars, which is K-Rock, like a cheap imitation. And he's just like, fuck them. That was the extent of the reaction. Radio.
Strategy.
Fuck them.
Insightful.
I don't know if any action was taken beyond that.
Oh, they didn't get fucked.
Let's talk movies.
Let's do it. Which one we mentioned? Haunt. Should we start there?
Sure. I think Haunt is going to be a little bit more difficult for me to talk about because of the genre, and I'm very much looking forward to talking about both of them with you, but especially Spurloos. But Haunt will be a fun talk as well.
Haunt is a 2019 film. Oh shit! I don't have the assigner. Get the assigner's name there. I don't have it in front of me. Written and directed by.
I spoke with him yesterday, so it's quite easy.
Written and directed by Brian Woods and Scott Beck. This stars Katie Stevens, who apparently is an American Idol alumnus.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
I thought you were an ardent viewer.
No. Mm. Will Britton, Lauren McLean, and Andrew Caldwell. 69% on Rotten Tomatoes. Prime Video is bringing a stream. I think it might be streaming on Hulu as well. Mm-hmm. We were assigned Haunt by
Chris Terry. And it was the first time I had ever spoken with Chris Terry, and Chris Terry and I spoke 15, 20 minutes. He gave me some good insights, which I fact checked, which I didn't actually go out and fact check them. What I do is when people assign us these movies, I will speak with them usually on Mondays. I kind of got in the groove of doing it during Atticus's karate. I step out, watch Atticus through the window when I can and talk about whatever movie was assigned. And then I get some intel, usually some insights from the listener. And then I do my research day of that we record. So fair. I was reading about Haunt this morning, and a couple of things that were really interesting is the sets. I don't know. Why don't you give the background, the backdrop on Haunt?
So Haunt is a very classic, not classic in the sense that it's become a classic, but it meets all the tropes of the slasher genre. It's got a little bit of Green Room, I think, to it. These youngsters, these young kids, I think it's Halloween, right? Mm-hmm. They're dressed up
Halloween night.
Their Halloween night, they end up at a strange escape room in a warehouse on the edge of town.
It's a haunted house.
Is it a haunted house?
It's haunted.
Yeah, I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
And what do you call those things? Because haunted houses are a thing already. Right. Like, oh shit, a scary like old dead woman lives in there. Let's not go down that street. And then there's at Halloween time, you pay to go to a haunted house. What you got to be a differentiating term for them.
Because like a place like Knott's Berry Farm or
Halloween Haunt.
Yeah, has their experience as you walk through the house, things scare you, blah, blah, blah. And that's what this is. Well, it turns out to be much more Anderson.
Yeah, it turns out, like, what if the haunted house was real?
What if they're actually trying to do bad things.
And it's fun because we get to watch these characters kind of discover the reality of it as they go through from room to room.
Yes, they go from flippant to very serious.
And there's one guy who's drunk and you know that he's going to get his because he's the one who's kind of like the type that would go into a place like this, much not unlike myself, I'm not going to lie.
He's the Anderson.
And kind of like make fun of things. I'm like, what, are you guys scared? Are you scared? I got yelled at actually at... I think it was Knott's Berry Farm for scaring one of the scarers.
Oh, really?
He got really, really mad at me. Yeah.
How did that happen?
I just saw him and he was like sneaking up on somebody and I screamed right behind him and he jumped. He was on rollerblades and he fucking yelled at me like a little girl. He's like, come on, dude, what are you doing? You know, we're here. Dude, that's not cool, man.
Well, I'm an SI.
All right. So we get to watch these people, and there's a lot of gore. It's a slasher film for sure.
This is another 90 minute, it might even be 80 something minutes. It's very short.
And in talking to Chris Terry about this, who, by the way, I didn't ask how much I'm allowed to say, but you want to suspect that he likes these types of movies, right? He doesn't fit the, I don't know if there is a mold, but I think a lot of people who like horror film, Florence isn't the mold either. Lot of people who like horror movies though, they are kind of like punk, especially when they're younger, punk rock ethos, and they don't like to follow rules, which is ironic because horror films are famous for following rules.
It's been said in movies before. Scream, for example.
Isn't that weird though? That, like, you know, the rule breakers who like these movies, you got to follow the rules or else they get mad, unless they're cool new rules.
Well, you're also not basing this on any facts. It's just your feelings.
Yeah, it's just my general opinion and observations about things. I'm generalizing. It's okay to generalize in that sense, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Right. Or am I going to get canceled by the...
By the horror film lovers? The horror film.
They do get angry.
That's true.
So, there's some very good gore and I like the
idea. Were you familiar with Haun before this?
I don't believe I was.
This is a very, very small movie.
Yeah, but I did get a couple emails from a couple different listeners, Andrew Martin being one of them, saying, very excited to see that you're going to be watching Haunt, one of my favorites.
In a very different way, this movie reminded me of Bill to Maze. What was the one about the maze? Someone built a maze.
It was on your, your I think, faulties. Or,
no, it was
your
the best favorite, I'd
best,
seen.
Best yeah. New best old. New yeah, yeah, yeah.
But whatever it was, Dave builds a maze.
Dave makes a maze.
It reminded me of that and that not a lot of money in this movie, but whatever money they had went into the
$5 million budget. Design. And you could see it in the production design for sure.
It looked good.
And that was what really struck me was the production design is very, very good. It looks very nice, very, very inventive. And they went out and they found the two guys that wrote it too are the same team that wrote A Quiet Place. So they got some writing chops there. And they went out and found, I don't know why I'm in IMDb Pro, so I can't go. I'm not going to look at the guy's name now
because
my computer's stuck on IMDb Pro, whatever. They always want me to edit this and I don't want to edit. It doesn't matter. But they found a guy who doesn't do horror. Like he has some pretty, he did Her. He was a production designer for Her, which second time is coming up on this episode, which is strange. Austin Gorg is his name. And he's not, he did La La Land. He did Ready Player One as well as Midnight Special. So they went out of their way to get a professional who doesn't come from the horror genre to give it a different flair and vibe. Fair. And I think it was very effective. So
I agree.
What else? What else about?
I was wondering how big this place was. And at one point they do show a schematic, a diagram, like a map of the place. And it's like, that's not helping me at all.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I'm more lost.
We're here and we need to get over there. Yeah. Yeah. So it was like being in a haunted house where it's real and without the crowds. So if you like the vibe of going to these haunted houses, you're going to enjoy this one.
I don't imagine they have a lot of repeat customers.
I wouldn't think so. It's a bad business model for business.
It's unsustainable.
And not sustainable. Yeah. I don't want to give too much away because people should, especially if you like horror films, you're going to like this one. I do believe that. I want to talk about the masks, but they got the creepy masks. We'll leave it at that. Mm. They do come into play. There's a lot of creativity and fun here. And
I found it very effective.
I would recommend this for a horror film.
Yeah, for someone who doesn't love horror like me, that this was a very effective, brisk jaunt.
Did you recognize one of the characters channeling a little Philip Seymour Hoffman? I did not.
No.
It was pointed out to me by Chris and... he says that he picked up on it when he was watching. He's like, this feels like Philip Seymour Hoffman. Turns out that the lead antagonist. He actually was channeling not just Philip Seymour Hoffman, but Philip Seymour Hoffman from Mission Impossible 3, which was an interesting choice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Was very evil. All of a sudden.
Very, very evil. Yeah. So I found that interesting. I didn't pick up on it. I wish that I had. So if you're going to watch this, look for that. If you have not seen this yet, it's not a spoiler, but just look for the lead to be doing a little Philip Seymour Hoffman action.
And it sounds like this. I mean, what did Chris say about why he assigned it? I assume he liked it very much.
Yeah, he liked it very much, and he knows that it's a huge blind spot. A lot of the time, too, people like know that we have blind spots. Mm-hmm. But we've seen a lot of movies, so they take that's why we're getting a lot of anime coming in.
Right.
Oh, I just watched Spirited Away with the boy.
Oh yeah.
Fuck to the ass. I have not seen that since it came out. It's my favorite anime because I'm basic, Brad.
Right.
But had a free afternoon, and I'm like, you know what?
Enjoyable.
It was just kind of spur of the moment. I'm like, we're sitting down, we're watching Spirited Away.
All right.
You need to do that with your daughter.
I will. Did he like it?
He was very confused by the creativity because you never see anything. It's a modern day Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Alice in Wonderland for sure, I would say. But have you seen Spirited Away?
I have not.
So fucking satisfying and great. It's just so good. Yeah, if you have a kid who's like 6 and up, there's some imagery in there. Some blood. One of the dragons bleeds a lot. But I highly recommend that.
Streaming on HBO Max. Soon to be Max.
Spirited Away. My favorite anime.
Really?
Even though I continue to
still
watch them for the listeners. Okay. We got one coming up this weekend, actually. We're going to be talking about it next week.
Narcissa?
Narcissa of Valley Woods. It'll be a title that will roll off our tongue once we see the movie, okay?
Thanks, Chris Terry, for assigning us Haunt. That was I always like when a movie fits into the blind spot and is satisfying. You know what I mean? It's like the ones that are like, yeah, this is why I don't watch these movies. It sucks.
There was some of that in this, for sure. Really? And I bled while talking to Chris.
I didn't get a lot of that.
I don't need hammers and mouths. You know what I mean?
You bring up the scene from Human Centipede 2 all the time.
How awful it was. Okay. Seared in my mind. And plus, the screening that I saw for the press, it actually froze right on the impact.
No.
For like a good 10 minutes, Brian. I've told that story. We're all sitting there. One of the critics was really angry. At one point, like 5 minutes in, we're just sitting there in the theater, and the film was frozen, literally frozen right on the impact. It was just a freeze frame of the impact of the hammer. And about 5 minutes in, one of the... critics just said, "Oh, for Christ's sakes!" And he gets up and storms out to like say, "Like, what's going on?
You had enough?
Is it the mix minus? What's the problem?"
All right, we are also assigned a film. Please get the assigner's name ready because it's not my notes.
Oh, Brian.
It should be.
No, it's in your notes. Sorry, the notes I took on the film.
Why do I send them?
Why do you send them? And why don't you?
Spoor loose.
I thought you were gonna do a little bit there.
AKA The Vanishing. Mm-hmm. From 1988, directed by George Sluzier.
You got it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Starring, oh my God, these fucking names.
Spoor loose. You don't have to.
Jean Berovets, Johanna Derstig, and Bernard Pierre Donadieu. Bernard Pierre.
Quite a diverse cast.
That's right.
French and Dutch.
French and Dutch, mostly. Yeah. 96% of Rotten Tomatoes. What?
Giving this a neg?
Yeah, so this is an odd movie to dislike. Criterion Collection
so
is
sweet.
Criterion Channel is where you can stream this. I'm sure you can rent it across many blog boards.
It's Spine 133, Brian.
What does that mean?
It's like their collection and they get...
Oh, okay. Speaking of which, Criterion, I wish more movies were streaming on there because they do a great job of curating extra material. I watched 5 minutes of Bill Hader explaining why he loved this movie so much. Why? I don't know. Random. But he's right there at the bottom there. Bill Hader talks The Vanishing.
Bill Hader's in Bo.
Oh, is he?
Got to really keep an eye out, though.
Is he Bo?
What? No, he's not Bo, Brian. Is he afraid? That's Joaquin Phoenix. What's that?
Is he afraid?
he actually is, yeah. He plays a UPS driver, and he's in an uncomfortable predicament.
All right.
Very little screen time. James Kozlowski is the one who, the listener who assigned us this. James has been a supporter of the program. And
thanks, James.
Mine. We had drinks and... tied one on in Chicago a few years ago at the Grouper screening. So I spoke with James just today.
And, how's James?
We talked about Spoor Loose, our reasons for liking it. And just what, and I've talked about this on the show with you and with the listeners, like some movies just lend themselves for great conversations. And that's what I'm looking for in a lot of movies that I that I see, I'm like, I can't wait to talk about this movie with somebody else who's seen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So be aware, listeners, there is a remake by the same director from 1993 with Jeff Bridges called The Vanishing. So if you're looking, you know, it's Googling or looking on Just Watch or whatever for The Vanishing, make sure you find the 1988 version.
And here's,
which is apparently much better.
Full disclosure.
It's better.
The one we want. The
1988.
I watched both of these in probably, I guess, 1994-ish. I think I was working at the video store when I watched both of them, and I would do that. I would watch the original and then the remake and compare and contrast. I remember liking both of these for different reasons back then, but I was a completely different person back then. I don't remember loving Spore Loose at the time. I love Spore Loose.
Oh, so you had seen this?
Yeah, I saw it years and years ago, yeah. Oh. And I remember really liking Jeff Bridges in 94, but maybe that was a wrong decision. I don't know. I'd have to, and they changed the ending as well.
In
the remake.
Interesting.
And the trailer gives everything.
The ending as it stands in this film is much more European than American. You know what I mean? It's not the ending you might be expecting.
So act one of this movie is a couple on, they're a Dutch couple, and they're going through the French countryside on a bit of a road trip, getting to know each other. You get the sense that they've been together for like 3-4 months or so, right? Not too long.
Sure.
And, it's very French, very, very Dutch, or very European, I should say. And there's it's almost like whimsical dialogue about dreams and,
it's just a couple getting to know each other.
I guess it just seems like if that was American, it would be different, but maybe not. Maybe I'm just overthinking this. It's not important. So she's talking about the golden egg, which this is based on a novella called The Golden Egg.
Okay.
And she's talking about this dream that she had where she's floating through space and she's trapped in a golden egg and he's in a golden egg as well. But they're separating, right. You know, something along those lines. And then they run out of gas in the middle of this impossibly long tunnel in the French countryside.
That's right.
And it's an old car.
It's nighttime.
And it's night. Well, it's in the middle of this tunnel, so there's no light.
Well, it's nighttime anyway.
It's not, though. It's 100% not. So remember, he walks out of the tunnel and it's bright outside.
Oh, he comes back when it's bright outside.
And he comes back. Oh, so it's been all night?
I'm pretty sure.
It's daytime.
Oh, whatever.
It's not important. But it's 100% daytime.
I'm extremely fucking nervous.
It's 100% daytime. And then when he comes. All right, so yeah, when he's walking out and he likes to hear. So. She's panicking because there's no lights on. It's very dangerous in the middle of this tunnel. And he's like, doesn't care that she's like, thinks that she's like, death is imminent, right? He doesn't really care. He's like calling her hysterical. They get in a fight. And he's like, fuck it, I'm out of here. And he just like walks, leaves her in this death trap of a car.
No explanation.
No. He doesn't calm her down at all. And he just leaves her, which kind of had to, I understand the writing of it. Like it had to show that he was willing to just walk away from her. He was not in love with her. He thought she was kind of, you know, annoying. He was ready to detach himself from her right there and in that moment, which means something with his arc and where it ends up in the second act, which is at the end of the third act. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. So ultimately she gets abducted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, The movie, like all good movies of this genre and this nature, reveals itself little by little. So at first, he just can't find her.
Right.
He's looking, he's like, hey, have you seen a red-haired woman?
Yeah. I mean, well, they go to a gas station and she goes in to get him a Coke and a beer and she doesn't come back. And he starts, and there's really good direction with like people behind him they're having like a picnic in this gas station, which is a very European thing to do as well.
It's like a rest stop.
And then you can tell how much time has passed because their picnic is ending now and they're like, you know, cleaning things up and he's still looking for her and he can't find her. And, you know, I'm not giving anything away because the movie is called Vanishing.
It's true.
All right. So she vanished. All right. What's interesting is at the end of...
She's spore loosed.
She's gone. The end of Act 1, now we switch perspectives and we go back in time to the abductor's point of view.
Oh, shit.
Hell to the yes. Fuck to the yes.
I'm in. And I was not in until right now.
We get to see what makes him tick.
That's right.
And it's
we
not
got a
done.
Real backstory on him.
We really do. We really do examine.
Is this a foreign language?
It's a character study. Yes, okay. Foreign language, French and Dutch.
You got to read this fucking movie.
It was submitted by Denmark to be the official, or Holland? Is it Holland? Denmark? I should know. I've been to Denmark.
Holland is the Dutch.
Is it Dutch? Yeah, it's Holland. So, anyways, they submitted it to the Academy.
This just in. It was daytime. Yeah, it was very dark in this home.
I know it was daytime, Brett. So they submitted it to the Academy, and the Academy's like, yeah, they speak too much French in this movie for it to be a...
Oh, yeah, I think the Academy said that?
They did.
Oh, because it was I got you. A Dutch movie over there.
But it was in
France.
Why
would that matter? Okay, anyway.
So it becomes a character study of who would do this dastardly deed, right? And why, and the MO. And then third
and really,
act.
You get this very unsettling juxtaposition of the kidnapper honing his craft over many months and then finally getting it right, unfortunately.
Yeah. We won't even talk about the third act, but you're absolutely right. But it is unsettling, but it's done in not the way you'd expect. And the...
Oh, sorry. There's, I finished my thought. I'm very sorry. The juxtaposition is him honing his craft, and then you see him in this home life with his family, and like his family, these loving daughters and his wife, and it's like, oh, that is extra creepy.
It is, which we've seen that before, though. Like they're leading the double life, right? But I mean, the Boston Strangler. I just caught up with the Boston Strangler. And they do the same.
Is it a movie or a series?
It's a movie from 1960 something. Tony Curtis
plays Boston Strangler. Oh.
But then also, I think it's a new movie.
Because I was going to say, I thought there was a new.
Yeah, it's a new movie with David Dasmalchian actually plays the Strangler,
the titular Strangler.
Yeah, right.
The titular Malchian.
But what's creepy? What's very non-American about it is they don't. There's comedy in this. And when we're seeing him rehearse his little abduction scheme, it's comedic and it's done without music.
Right.
It's not, there's no stabs or like telling us how to feel while we watch him bumble through, you know, his rehearsal of the act, which is, you know, involves chloroform or whatever.
Cause he's not smooth about it.
Not smooth. And it's, they're trying, he's director clumsy. Was almost trying to humanize him to an extent. I don't know if they were trying to get us to, because I already hated the boyfriend, right? For the way he treated her in the tunnel.
Okay.
And it was kind of one of those things where like once she's gone, now I love her, you know, like idealized relationship because it's over, whether it's death or a breakup. Right. People do that all the time. So and then they're showing us this and getting inside this killer's mind, and they're not doing with a creepy style, even though it is unsettling. But yeah, it's been said too, I don't know, no one can fact check this, but this was Stanley Kubrick's, he cited this as the scariest movie he's ever seen.
Really?
That's what the director says. He says he called him up one day to tell him that. I don't know.
Hard to believe, but okay.
But it's very good, right?
Yeah, it's really well done. This is a solid, solid movie.
And you can totally tap into the boyfriend too, being obsessive. It's about obsession.
That's a very good observation of sort of idealizing a relationship or someone you dated in retrospect, especially when that person is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you can very much drive the narrative how you want.
I mean, any eulogy you ever see. I mean, how many assholes do we know are walking amongst us? But whenever they die, they become angels.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, only the highlights. It's just a highlight reel.
So anything else we can say?
The only thing that... I won't even say it bothered me. Just I found a lot of the third act. We can't really say what happens, but not forced. But I don't know. I hamstrung myself by, you know, talking about a third act that we shouldn't talk about. But did you find the third act satisfying?
Satisfying is not the right word. The biggest problem I had with the third act was. Imagine putting myself in the shoes of of various people and like trying to buy the motivation. And I think they earned it. And I think I got there because it's about obsession. And I almost want to just shut down and, you know, not give anything more away. Cause I really like this movie and there's a lot to a lot of reveals. And we talked a lot about it and we sold Avery on it.
It went in places I didn't expect.
Yeah, the first act and the second act and the different points of view. The third act, you know, you might be able to do the math and figure out what that is. But there is a line where it's spoken by one of the characters and he openly admits just how badly he needs the truth and the lengths that he would go to get it. And that kind of, I think I bought it. So,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a very good movie. I'm glad we saw it.
Careful though, because I knew it was coming and I still had a really hard time with the last scene. And it's not violent at all, but if you got things that I have, like it's very difficult.
I would call it a sexy, it's a candidate for a sexy bleak ending.
It is a very sexy bleak ending, yes.
Thanks, James, for signing us Spurlus. That was
Spurlus.
Spurlus. Oh, eye-opening for me and enjoyable. Well, enjoyable might be the wrong word, but it was a good movie. Glad I saw it. Well,
it's a lot about fate and Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a whole lot there, right? Destiny and outwitting your destiny. Yep. And yeah, it's fantastic. Okay.
Yep. A lot of characters who break tropes.
Samus. There's an Amish facial hair choice. Why?
I doubt very much that had anything to do with Amish.
I don't like the goatee, the full goatee with no mustache. I don't
like
that.
Terrible.
It's
terrible.
I also don't like
that. You have to see it a lot in this movie.
I also don't like that he kept it the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, you should have shaved it.
Yeah, because there's at least 3 years that are going by, right? Let's shave part of it.
It's very big in baseball now in a lot of, like, Central American, South American, Caribbean countries.
Well, they love Spoorloos.
I think they're all Spoorloos fans.
Yeah. Right? Amish Spoorloos.
Yeah. Not only do they like Spoorloos, they like the antagonist in Spoorloos.
It's very specific. Baseball's best kept secret.
Constantly playing in the clubhouse.
That would be a very well
get ready for. Fired up for the game.
Are we all done here?
Let me check my notes and make sure. Yeah, I was gonna ask you some questions, but then it's not important. No.
Please,
no.
I love being asked questions.
No, I know.
No. Someone interview me for God's sake.
All right, let's go.
All right, thanks Chris Terry for Haunt. Thanks James Kozlowski for Spoorloos. Two solid assignments. Appreciate those. If you guys want to be an assigner, just join up at our Patreon. We have a ever dwindling list of assigned movies.
It's still pretty lengthy, Brian. It stresses me out.
It's true.
We're getting caught up though.
We're making headway.
We're making headway.
Making headway.
We're only like 3 months behind right now.
Patreon's where you go if you want to sign up there. Thanks to the Smug Saints. They're our featured artists this week, and you find more about them at AndersonandBryan.com. AndersonandBryan.com is the place you go to see our listener art every week. Also to use the Amazon banner that sits there atop the page. We appreciate you guys' continued support of the show. Anderson and Bryan on Instagram is where you go. Anderson and Bryan on TikTok is where you go. YouTube.
TikTok.
The Film Pod.
Oh, yeah, we are TikTok. Yeah, that's right. Of course.
That's what it says.
We're Kath. Yeah.
The Film Vault Podcast on YouTube, The Film Vault on Facebook and Twitter. I don't know what else to say. That was a robust profession. Oh, coming up later in the week, top five movie theater scenes.
Movie theater scenes, which might have a couple controversial ones on there. We'll see. We'll decide whether
all of mine take place in a movie theater.
Okay. Well, we'll have to define what a movie theater is, perhaps. Next week, we'll be talking Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. I hope that we'll know how to say it by then. We might not, though.
I'm not gambling on that.
Probably going to be a dubbed, so maybe we'll never know what Nausicaa, how to say Nausicaa. All right, that's thanks to Tyler Booth. Thank you, Tyler Booth, for that.
You.
And then also next week, irresponsible gun handling scenes. Thanks to Better Brian McCauley. And
he was military, right?
No.
Who am I thinking? Oh, McAllister.
Yeah.
Sorry. Similar names. Mm-hmm.
This week is a little comedy confessional.
Oh, yeah?
Check out Friday at The Crow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My monthly show. Check it out.
Where do people go?
I will
go to Instagram, at Avery Comedy. You can pick up tickets. Really fun concept. We collect anonymous confessions from the audience. Comedians pull them out of a hat and work them into their act.
All right.
And that's taking place in West Hollywood?
Santa Monica.
Okay.
At The Crow, yes.
Friday, Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
And I will be there. I don't know if Brian, are you going to come?
Very unlikely.
You're not going to come.
Very
thanks. But I thought we had planned to go together. So
we'd also plan to not see Bo's Afraid, but that got blown up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, great. Thanks, Brian.
It's the least I can do.
All right. Brian, will you throw to me for God's sakes?
I'm trying to watch the basketball game. Till next time.
We do it for Bingo!